wanted to read a passage that's probably very familiar to us. At least part of it is. As Dad mentioned, we've been reading through the Bible at our church in Williamsburg this year. And I don't know about you, but sometimes we read through the Bible and the Lord, you know, just shows us something new. Have you ever found that to be so? You've read a passage you've read before and you say, oh, I've read that before. But if we're wanting to hear from God, He always has something new from us, from His Word. And I had one of those moments in reading this passage, something I had never seen before. Maybe I've told you I have a friend who I worked with for a number of years. And I would tell him, you know, well, we're reading the Bible through again this year at our church. And he said, well, didn't you read it like once before? And I said, yes, I have, but it's good to read it more than once. And so if you would open to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And many of us know the story about Solomon and the temple that he built for God. His father David had it in his heart to build a temple, a dwelling place for God. And you know the story how he expressed that desire to the prophet. And the prophet said, go ahead, go do what's in your heart. Go build that temple. But then the Lord spoke to the prophet Nathan and said, no, you have to go back and tell David, you can't build my house. But your son will build a house for me. And so David made all the preparations and got all the materials together to build that temple. And when the time came for Solomon to reign as king and to do this work, he followed the plans that his father had given him. And he constructed this house for the glory of God. And at that dedication, the glory of God descended and filled the house. It says there that they could not minister because the glory of God had filled the house. I trust in these days that we will experience God in that way, that His glory would fill the temple, and that every heart would be drawn to see Him and to worship Him. But after the temple was dedicated, the Lord appeared to Solomon again. If you remember early on in his life, when he had become king, he had gone to sacrifice to God. And at that time, God appeared to him in a dream at night and said, Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? What can I give you? And you know how Solomon responded, Lord, I need wisdom to guide this, your people. But here after the dedication of the temple, the Lord appears to him. Verse 12 of the 7th chapter, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. And now here's the verse that we're familiar with. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And the thing that interests me about that verse, it's not given to the heathen or the unsaved or the unchurched. It's given to the people of God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Do we need to humble ourselves? Do we need to bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker? It has to be more than something we do outwardly, so to speak. It has to be a work that God does within us to make us a humble people who understand that He is God and that we are the creature. He is the Creator. We are the work of His hands. If you will humble yourselves and pray, and then it goes on and says, and seek my face, and yet that's not enough. And turn from your wicked ways. Now, can we take that? Brother Phil, I'm not wicked. Well, I'm not wicked either. Well, maybe we think that we're not wicked. But maybe there's something that displeases the Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be some wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And that was the prayer of David's heart. Search me, O God. Try me. We want to turn from our wicked ways. I think the New Testament where there's repentance. What was the first thing that Jesus preached? Repent. Turn. And if we want revival, we've heard a little bit about that already. What do we need to do? We need to turn to God. Humble ourselves. Seek His face. Lord, search out iniquity in me until you find none. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How we desire God to move in these days. We need a work of His Spirit. Not only here at camp, in our churches, in our homes. I want God's Spirit to move in my home. The Lord went on to say, now mine eyes shall be open, verse 15, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now this morning I'd just like to take what is said about the temple that Solomon constructed and just maybe apply it to Pilgrim Camp, our time here at camp. Mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now throughout the year, and as our brother John mentioned about the inception of camp, from the very beginning, there has been much prayer made for Pilgrim Camp and the work of God here. People pray for Pilgrim Camp. And people also call Pilgrim Camp and say, I have a prayer request. I need you to pray. And what do? We pray. This afternoon we're going to gather together at 4 o'clock to pray. On Tuesday afternoon the staff gathers and the guests are welcome to join us and we pray. On Thursday afternoon we gather together to pray. We have a prayer meeting during the week. Why? Because the Bible teaches us that we need to pray. If my people will pray. So why don't we pray? We're lazy? The Lord has to get a hold of our hearts, beloved, and make us a people of prayer. And I speak to myself. I want to pray more. I want to learn to touch God, to touch His throne in prayer. Without prayer, there really is no work of God upon the earth. Without prayer, there really is no work of God upon the earth. God works through the prayers of His people. This place, prayer that is made in this place, God said to Solomon, I'm going to hear. I'm going to be attentive to the prayers that are prayed. Then he goes on and the Lord says, for I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. A few months ago I had the opportunity to be at the dedication of the church, the Chinese Christian Church in Maryland. The Lord had laid this verse on my heart at that time, and as I was thinking about coming to camp again, the Lord reminded me of that text. I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. I believe God has chosen and sanctified this house, Pilgrim Camp, and he wants his name to be here forever, until he comes. Forever. I remember, maybe it's 15 or more years ago, I brought my boss from work, or I didn't bring him. He was vacationing in Lake George, and I said, "Oh, come over and see me." And so he graciously came, a Jewish man. I don't know if Brother Tom remembers this or not. But I took him around the grounds. We walked down to the village and admired the beauty of the place. And Uncle Tom took him into the kitchen and we had ice cream together. But his remark to me when he left was, "There's such a peace in this place. There's such a peace." And I knew that he felt God. I have chosen and sanctified this place. There's a motto above me that says, "Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord." Do you believe there's a connection? I believe it was right at the outset of the camp that the Lord gave a word that he would make this place a vestibule of heaven if it was kept holiness unto the Lord. So some people say, "Well, you know, the rules of camp, they're a little bit strict and they're a little bit old-fashioned."
It's okay.
But it's because we endeavor to keep holiness unto the Lord. We don't want to trade the presence of God for something else. We want God's name to be here. When God speaks of his name being there, it means that he wants to manifest himself. He wants to show forth his works. He wants his name, as it were, to be famous at Pilgrim Camp. God is there. God moves at Pilgrim Camp. He wants his works to be seen. He wants people to be saved, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, changed, transformed for eternity. And I know many of you are here because you love Pilgrim Camp. If I could say it that way, or Israel, why do you? I love Pilgrim Camp. Why do I love Pilgrim Camp? Because Tom and Mary are here. I love Pilgrim Camp because God is here. And I know that I have met God over the years. Mom talked about how when I was 6 years old in this room, I gave my heart to Jesus. And over the years, how God met me here at Pilgrim Camp. People prayed for me. People had faith over me. I heard the voice of God in this place. And it's not that we can't hear the voice of God elsewhere. I trust that we hear the voice of God in our churches. But again, speaking about Pilgrim Camp, God has said this is to be a vestibule of heaven. I want my people to come here and to meet me. But here's the phrase that I had never seen before. It says, "And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Now, I remember the eyes. I knew God said he was going to watch over that place. And he was going to look down from heaven. His eyes were going to be upon that people, upon his house. But I never saw that part that says, and mine heart shall be there perpetually. I just had to stop and say, God, you love us. You love us. And the reason you come and meet us is because you love us. Not because we deserve it. We don't deserve anything. But you love us. My heart will be forever. Do you know that God loves you? This morning, do you know that God loves you? Do you know that Jesus loves you? We sang about him. Jesus, wonderful name, sweeter than all the world to me. But the only reason that I can love him is because he loves me. He has shed abroad his love in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And so what an encouragement. What an encouragement. I read these words. God says, I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall always be there. And so wherever we are upon these grounds, we ought to be looking up and saying, Jesus. Jesus, you love me. You're watching. You're watching me. Lord, show us your glory in these days. Lord, show us that your name is in this place. What encouragement, what faith we ought to draw from these words. The Lord himself is speaking. And so as we pray, as we wait upon God, Dad referred to Isaiah 40 this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so, Lord, our eyes are upon you. We thank you that your eyes are upon us. That you have chosen this place and sanctified it for yourself. And I pray that you would give us the grace and the understanding, the wisdom to walk before you in holiness and truth all our days. And Lord, beginning here at camp, we want to walk before you in a way that pleases you. The way we speak to one another, the way we do our jobs, the way we work with the children that will come. May it be holiness unto the Lord, pleasing in your sight. Whether we're in this room or at the beach, may our beach be holiness unto the Lord. May the boathouse be holiness unto the Lord everywhere, dear God. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we belong to you, that you have showered your love upon us. Lord, I pray that your love would just continue to be poured out in these days in this place. Search our hearts, dear God. Search our hearts today, Lord. We don't want anything to hinder your working among us. Help us to turn from our own ways, from our own wicked ways, and turn to you. that your ear would be open, that your eyes would be upon us, and that your heart would be here forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.